Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world peace, having food distributed to everyone on the planet. And at this critical time, the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decision out of the power of love, rather than the love of power. Just releasing any thought of the future or the past, presencing ourselves to right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway. Silver light like a spinning disc all the way up. The back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Keeping your attention placed there, I speak these words for me and for you and the I person. There is one infinite presence and power. It is God. It is the fullness of divine wisdom. It is creativity itself and unconditional love. Being everywhere present, omnipresent, it expresses everywhere, not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me, in all ways, for always. This morning, right here and now, I get honest about honesty so that I can more fully love and live with honesty. Before I can be honest with others, I need to be honest with myself, to myself. I release, I let go of any fear associated with telling the truth. I release fear associated with intimacy and vulnerability. I let go of fears associated with rejection, censorship, or punishment. I love myself first. I love myself enough to ask questions that stretch me in my capacity to live and love with honesty. I now claim the health that telling the truth releases. It releases it in the form of energy at the cellular level within me. I now claim the real, authentic relationship with myself that I deserve and that I desire. I now say yes to real, authentic relationship with others. I say yes to this day that holds the grand opportunity to live and love in honesty. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for the conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. So it is. Thank you. My topic this morning is living with honesty. And so many times people hold honesty the same as integrity. Integrity is a state of being whole that also includes honesty. So in my frame of reference, integrity would be a much wider context than honesty, but it certainly includes honesty. And I share from time to time, because it was such an important statement to me many years ago. Dr. Harry Roeder, one of my mentors, Norm's and my mentors years ago, said to a class during concept therapy or energy in man, I don't recall which one it was, but he said, how would you live your life if you absolutely knew no one would find out? Would you live it any differently? How would you be in your behaviors? How would you be around things like your income tax, like driving your car, like, you know, etc.? So I'll just kind of leave that one for us to inquire and look honestly within ourselves. But today, living with honesty, I want to focus more at the honesty in our communications. Honesty in our communications. So several points I'd like to make. First of all, the self-reflection, the self-observation of, so where am I with honesty in my communications? And also within that reflection, the self-awareness of, do some fears come up? And to really truly acknowledge them and be aware of them. You know, that conscious awareness is 70% of the healing. But if we're not aware that there's the fear, the fear just kind of drives us. We're not consciously aware of it. I'll get back to that in a moment. And then looking at a few ways to raise our level of honesty. And I want to give some examples in everyday life that perhaps you've come across. And you may have wondered to yourself, so what's the right thing to do here? Should I be honest and say, or should I not say anything? Get back to that one too. Third point I want to make is that God indwells in us as perfect potential, awaiting our recognition and our release. Our release. So how would that look? Today's topic I'm using as reference, wonderful book that was actually given when I was in conference last week. We had ministers' luncheons three times, and there were different authors there gifting some books. And one of the books that was gifted was Don't Be Nice, Be Real. A great book, and part of it is going deeper and a more expansive way as far as everyday life as the nonviolent communication. So this fellow, of course, was trained by Marshall Rosenberg, who wrote that book. Another book that I picked up a while ago, and I didn't even know that it existed, and it's co-authored by two people. The first one is Brad Blanton, and he wrote the book Radical Honesty and does Radical Honesty workshops throughout the United States. And he co-authored this book with none other than Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversations with God. So guess what the book is called? One wrote about honesty, and one wrote about God. It's called Honest to God. Honest to God, and I'll give you a quotation about that a little later on. So back to this self-reflection, self-observation. Where am I with honesty? I'm asking that of myself. I'm asking you to look within yourself. First of all, when we look at honesty, we really need to know, so what do we mean by honesty? It's about telling the truth. It's about not withholding the truth. Radical honesty is the basis of intimacy, and without honesty, there can be no intimacy. And without intimacy, it's been said that people die 20 years younger because they're not in really real contact with who they are or with themselves. Duh. Being honest is simple, but it can be hard to do at times. It's about telling the truth about what you think, about what you feel, about what you've done. It's about noticing things, noticing how you are in your body at that moment, noticing how you are outside your body, noticing how you are inside your skin, noticing what you're thinking, and to report on what you're noticing right then. So, getting back to the question. Good questions to ask ourselves. So, do I withhold? When do I withhold? Are there certain people that I withhold from? Ever or more than others? Is there certain circumstances where I withhold or don't tell the whole truth? What gets in my way of being honest, of telling the truth? And if we're really honest about that, we realize that there's some fears that come up. There's a fear, you know, it's like two sides of this, like opposites. There's fear associated with rejection, the possibility of rejection, censorship. Maybe when we're young, punishment, or even when we're older, punishment. And then there's the opposite end of the polarity, but it's still a fear. Fear associated with intimacy and being vulnerable. One of the things that we as human beings really desire at the intrinsic level, if we tell the truth, is that we do desire deep intimacy with people. But it's one of our greatest fears also. And when I say intimacy, you take that word apart, into me see. I allow you to see into me who I really am. Intimacy. So many times when people hear intimacy, they may think of it only in a sexual connotation. And of course, it includes our sexuality. But it's far more broader than that. It's been said that the hallmark of an evolved person is the ability to tell the truth with no fear of punishment or expectation of reward. Interesting. Now, when we look at some of these fears dovetail some blocks that people have about asking for what they want in life, speaking their true desires. Sometimes that block may look like that they just don't have a sense that they even have the permission to do that, to speak about what they want. Sometimes there's the fear that we might hurt someone's feelings. There's the fear about how will we be if the answer is no. How will we be if it seems like they don't even care? Here's two statements that I've made so many times over the years at the center. Love without honesty is hypocrisy. I'll say that again. Love without honesty is hypocrisy. Honesty without love can be cruel to the point of being brutal. Honesty without love. And I'm not saying the kind of love, I love you, you know, my significant other love. I mean the love at the core of who we really are and knowing that we're spiritual beings going through a human experience and that we're all one. To the point of brutality. And this is a key point that I want to make. We mustn't make kindness a standard of conduct to override honesty. It was quite late in the conference. I think it was the last day, and you know, you wait to go in, and then they let you in when all the sound checks were done, and you know, 2,500 people going through the doors, and you sit at different places, of course. And one of the last sessions, I was sitting beside a lady and two ladies, and they were talking to each other during the wonderful music and entertainment that was being provided, to the point where I couldn't really concentrate. So, how many of you have ever been in that kind of situation? You know, movies or when they want, you know, like, yeah, we're on the right planet. So, how are we with that, and what do we do? Do we say nothing? Do we move? At that point, I would have had to sit way at the back or maybe stand against the wall. Do we say something? What do we say? How do we say it? So I just, you know, tapped the lady next to me on her shoulder and I said, "When you're talking to your friend, I can't enjoy the music." So they stopped talking. And a little while later, after they enjoyed the music, she turned to me and she said, "Thank you." Now, she really didn't get it because at the next break, she went out and bought some peanuts. And she had it between her legs. She was actually helping herself to these peanuts. Interesting. In nonviolent communication, there's just, you know, several things for us to remember. It's the telling the truth about when thus or so happened, or when you said that, when, and you fill it in. Then you own the feeling, "I felt." And you really communicate what you felt or what you are feeling. Not that I felt that. When you fill it in, "I felt," you fill it in. And then you say what you're needing. And then make your request. In the book, Don't Be Nice, Be Real, The author says he was in a nonviolent communication workshop with Marshall Rosenberg, and he himself, as a participant, had just done a real intense piece of emotional work that required some crying and release. And he started to unconsciously begin to rock and make little whimpering sounds on his exhale. Dr. Marshall Rosenberg leaned over and whispered in his ear for privacy. He said, "That little sound that you're making, is it soothing you?" And the fellow said, "Yes." And Dr. Rosenberg said, "It's irritating the hell out of me." because I want to both comfort you and be focused on what the next person is sharing in their issue. It takes a very strong facilitator to stand up like that. And then he made his requests. He says, "Could you find another way to soothe yourself?" Simple. Do you know, many people have learned early on in life to not tell the truth, to lie. And usually that happens with our relationship with our parents. Because as a result, we got blamed, judged, censured, laughed at, possibly punished, and sometimes even beaten. So what happens is, where the mind goes with that is, therefore, telling the truth equals pain. And that's kind of where they live their life out of, and their reason and their excuse not to. So it's important for us to recognize what happens within us when we're not telling the truth. I really like it. I think it's in Conscious Loving. The Hendricks wrote the book Conscious Loving. They don't even say tell the truth. They say tell the microscopic truth. Tell the microscopic truth. So what would be going on in our body when that happens? Sometimes people experience a tightness in their throat. They may have a clenched or hardened jaw. They may develop a headache. Not all headaches are due to that. They may be holding their breath or swallowing their breath. Their stomach might feel as though it's in fluctuation, fluttering. They may perceive some tension in the shoulders, back of the neck area. And many times there is an evasive eye contact. You know, the question could be asked, is there any time, is there any situation where, for lack of a better word, I'll say recommend, to not tell the truth or to withhold? Brad Blanton in the book Honest to God says this, and I 100% agree with him. He says, well, when we're being approached by an institutional representative such as a Nazi trooper, you may not want to tell the truth. Withholding, when you have an agreement of confidentiality, It could look like a therapist-client situation, or it could be when you're just being with somebody and somebody says to you, I'd like you to keep this confidential. I'd like you to keep this just between you and I. When we realize this, living with honesty has so much to do with our communication, it's important to understand the just the levels of communication. You know, there's the cliche, how are you, and just, you know, like little niceties like that. And then there's the factual, you know, you say, I'm taking the ferry after, or what time it is. Then there's the opinions that we have, what we personally believe about things. So there's cliche, factual, and opinions. And then there's our feelings. And it's not a summary of what happened. It's a summary of how we feel about what happened, how we felt about what happened. And then, of course, there's the wordless communication, the look. The look of love or the look of criticism, the look of drop dead. The look of I'll get you for that. And there's gestures too. I loved a lot of the examples. One of them was that the child said to the mom, dinner sucks, mom. This dinner sucks. And mom had hurt feelings. And the honesty to telling the truth, the honesty of telling the truth to herself is, she wasn't hurt by what was said. She was hurt by what she said after she heard that. What she said to herself. And isn't that the way sometimes something happens or somebody says something and we think that's the thing. That's the one that did it. To me. But if we're really honest and really hear and listen what went on in our own self-talk after that was said or what was done. The self-talk, the self-talk, the self-talk. I want to go into just a couple of examples. Perhaps you've had them in your life. What if your mom or someone close to you, quite elderly, perhaps in their 80s or so, was given by the doctors probably only a very short time to live, a week to live, if that. So the question comes up, do we tell this person? Just think for a moment. Do we come from, we owe it to her to let her be responsive to her own reactions to the news? Or do we play God and say, well, what she doesn't know won't hurt her? What he or she doesn't know won't hurt them. See, the chance that we take with that one is when the person is just about at transition, if they're still conscious. You could watch helplessly as this person looks up to you, possibly, and says, if I had known I had such a short time, I would have done a few things differently or said a few things, or I would have requested some people like that. And what if that person says, I think you owed it to me to tell me. Norman and I, a few weeks ago, went to the first memorial gardens and prepared for when we make our transitions. And before we did that, it took a great deal of honesty with ourselves to talk about so what we want to have happen. Do we want people looking at our bodies after we've left them? Do we want a cremation? What kind of a service do we want? It takes really, you know, not only being honest with the other person, but first of all, self-reflection, being honest with ourselves. What is it what we truly desire here? The second instance I want to give you is, what if, and I'll use this instance, it could be husband or wife, but what if the husband of your best friend is having an affair? And you know about it. But your best friend, the wife, doesn't know. What to do? Just be with that for a moment. Kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? How about this? Going to him and telling him that you know, and asking him if he's willing to tell his wife, who is your friend in this scenario. You don't want to take away from him his right to tell her. But your knowing about this is an interruption to your relationship with his wife. It's like you're with her, but you're not being with her because you know something. And there might be a fear about slipping up or saying something that like that. Also, to reassure him that if there's anything in the way of support that you'd be willing to, if you are willing to, and that you're willing to go through whatever it is that they will go through as a couple after they have the communication. It's been suggested that you give the person 2 to 3 times, reminding, and on the third time you say, you have 30 days to resolve this. After 30 days, I'm going to your wife. In order for me to maintain integrity with who I am. Wow. That's why it's like simple, but sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to do. Because really, we don't want this person saying to us in the future that they knew that you knew and they thought you were their friend, and how come you didn't tell them? You know, in our most radical moments of telling the truth, when we're in radical honesty, so many times tears surface. And the tears may not only be connected with sadness. The tears are often connected with relief, with joy, and with both. I think that's why courses like Love at the Core are so powerful, because we get into telling ourselves the deeper truth about ourselves, about who we are, how we are, what we've done, how we think, how we feel, how we've felt in certain circumstances, and telling a deeper truth to ourselves than ever before. I always call myself the tissue fairy, because we have lots of Kleenex around and it's like a ball. Sometimes people cry very deeply. God indwells in us in perfect potential, awaiting our recognition and release of that. Someone who's made a great deal of difference to me in my life is Werner Erhard, and the offshoot of the S training is the form which many people in this room have taken. But he is quoted as saying, the first step in transformation, the first step in transformation is to tell the truth. Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the keynote speakers at the conference, and is always coming from a place right now where, you know, sharing that right now we're in a place of co-creation with greater awareness of experiencing what we're experiencing and to tell the truth about that. Jean Houston, another wonderful speaker, says that our race has moved into a period where more and more are creating a future on purpose. A future on purpose. And how could we really do that if we didn't really have a commitment to tell the truth? I want to close with just a few words from this book, Honest to God, A Change of Heart That Can Change the World, by Neil Donald Walsh and Dr. Brad Blanton. One of the things we urge people to consciously create is a world without deception. I'm just going to digress here. Do you remember last week when I shared with you what Dr. David Hawkins, his definition of war and peace? I'm bringing it up to consciousness right now. Peace is the natural state of telling the truth, of truthfulness. And war is the state of falsehood or lies. Wow, how simple. Getting back to this reading here, one of the things we urge people to consciously create is a world without deception, without hidden agendas, without backdoor dealings or under-the-table manipulations or behind-the-scenes maneuvering or out-of-sight agreements or between-the-lines understandings or anything that is not totally transparent. That's a big order. That's a huge order. A world in which telling and living the truth carries the highest reward and is given the highest honor in society. So here we've kind of come full circle. I said the hallmark of an evolved person is ability to tell the truth with no fear of punishment or expectation of reward. So I thank you for your conscious listening this morning, for your presencing. I really sense the deep inquiry that's going on in our hearts and minds. The self-reflection, the self-awareness, the self-observation, and the underlying commitment to rise in living with honesty. Because it's really loving with honesty. Loving with honesty. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you. Thank you.